It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Bradford will screen. That's a lateral. That ball's behind him. It's loose. Picked up by the Giants. Foley's got it. Running down the right sideline. To the 30. To the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Manning back to throw. Looks end zone on the post for Dominic Kixon. Bobbles the ball and then makes the catch for the touchdown.
Jump ball deflected.
And caught off the deflection. Running down the right sideline for a touchdown is Victor Cruz. And he does the samba in the end zone.
Patrick back to throw. Lobs one left for Johnson.
Intercepted by Corey Webster.
And it takes a low snap. It's back. Throws one left down the sideline for Nix,
who makes the catch for the touchdown. With 2:30 to go, Hakeem Nix.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, presented by Andrew Mark, 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. The Giants win their final preseason game, whoop-dee-doo, 6-3 against the New England Patriots in one of the more dreadful football games you'll ever watch. Wow, that
you
was...
You can say that again.
That was ugly. But the Giants get the win, and more importantly, they get another four quarters of football to evaluate their team as they make final cuts here over the next couple of days, a very stressful time, especially for some of the younger guys here in the Timex Performance Center.
They got to go from 76 to 53 at this point, and, you know, it was another opportunity last night for a bunch of guys to make statements. I think Ramsey's Barden put together a solid performance.
Couple
again.
Nice catches.
He was one of the guys we talked about earlier in the week. He has had flashes in the past, but he needed to show some consistency. He took advantage of that. And how about Adewale Ojomo, who probably solidified that fourth defensive end spot, Schmelk, with his play in getting to the quarterback. I mean, he has a knack to consistently pressure the opposition and successfully do it.
Fits right in with that group. I mean, he gets low to the ground. He has that little OC front shoulder dip where he kind of gets underneath the offensive tackle. And, boy, he, you know, you can't let a guy like that go. Might it just be a flash in the preseason against third stringers where you can't do it against first teamers? Yeah, that's a distinct possibility. But what if he's a young guy that for whatever reason in Miami went overlooked and he really has this talent and ability, and if given a chance to let it bloom here and train under great mentors like OC and Jason Pierre-Paul and Justin Tuck, he can be a legit top-end pass rusher. I mean, there's a chance that could happen. You can't let a guy like that hit the open market because I promise you he's not going to get onto the practice squad. There's another team out there that can't rush the passer the way the Giants do, and they see a guy with four sacks in the preseason. I don't care who it's against. Guess what? They're going to bring that guy in.
Absolutely. He's going to be on the radar of 31 other teams if the Giants let him go. And you mentioned the benefit of him working under guys like O.C. Umenyora, Justin Tuck, and JPP, I think that's already rubbing off, John. And even Adewale has alluded to that when talking to the media. He is honing his craft based on what he sees in terms of strategy and just basic technique from guys like O.C. and the rest of the group. And we're seeing that play out over the last couple of games. And the other thing that I think he has working in his corner is when Tom Coughlin addresses the media after the game, doesn't necessarily single out most players. The one player, though, that he did mention was Ojomo. So if you know that you're getting kudos from your head coach, I would say that's a very good sign that you have made a place to be on that 53-man roster.
Well, I'll tell you what, post-game, our very own Paul Dottino was kind of standing by to, you know, talked to Ojomo post-game on the radio, and he got pulled aside by the coaches telling him that you played a great game, and, you know, we had to wait to get him in the post-game, and we finally did. I asked him about being mentored by those guys, and at first I said, can you explain how you've been able to do this, come out of nowhere, undrafted guy, and he goes, look, and he looked at me like with like these really serious, like, I really believe this type of look, and he just says, when you're a guy like me, and you come in here, and you don't show the team something and do something special, you're just going to be part of the group. You're going to be overlooked. And when the Giants make their cuts in 2 days, guess what? He's going to be gone.
Especially at a position where there's so much depth.
So he knew that he had to make a mark, make plays, and he's done it. And he said, OC Tuck, Pierre-Paul are all helping him. They're all training him. They're, you know, just telling him to play hard, take advantage of his opportunities, and it's worked out, man. This kid, he looks like OC a little bit getting around that corner with that little, you know, with the strip sack.
And the key that you said is the strip. You know, not only is he getting to the quarterback, John, but he's going after the football and helped force that key turnover that led to the game-winning field goal yesterday and finally ended that delightful contest.
Now, Marcus Thomas might have to work on his ball security and running with the football. He looked very happy to have it in his hands, by the way. He looked like a kid running out. He looked like a big kid running out of the candy store with, like, holding, like, the Twix bar all happy running around. And, boy, he got stripped pretty nice, though. But I thought it was pretty
funny. Well, as long as he landed on top of the football, that's the main thing.
All right, let's go to our phones at 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Richard in New Jersey. Good morning, Richard.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, pal?
Michael, did you think Andre Brown did enough to get on the team from his performance last night?
I think his performance last night certainly helped, but I think his performance over the course of the entire preseason has shown the Giants that he deserves a roster spot with his combination of speed and strength. I think it's something that really the other running backs, talking about DJ Ware and Darrell Scott, the speed and strength and size combination I think is something that only Andre Brown has. And I think the Giants really have faith in him in short yardage, in the running game, and even in the pass protection on third downs. We've seen him in those situations a bit. I think Andre Brown's on this team.
All right, Richard. Well, appreciate the phone call, and I would second that, John. I think that Andre Brown certainly solidified a spot yesterday. He was pretty much a spark plug on that one good drive that they had from an offensive perspective, and you got to wonder the chances now of a Darrell Scott or even a DJ Ware, who has been a guy that they've relied on third down in the last couple of seasons. Andre Brown, who's been hurt, now taking advantage of his playing time. If he's in the mix, David Wilson is certainly in the mix. Ahmad Bradshaw. Are they going to keep four running backs? Are they going to try to stretch things out
with
here?
With Bradshaw's injuries, do you have to keep four, considering how many problems he usually has? He usually misses three, four, five games a year with a foot or an ankle.
I think you have to weigh that, because if Bradshaw does go down, keep this in mind. David Wilson is an impressive running back, but the experience is not there. Andre Brown has been up and down in terms of his injury battles.
Very little experience, too.
DJ Ware, to me, would be the one guy at least that you can rely on who's been there, done that, and also you can rely on in the passing game.
See, that was my thought, and pass protection as well, and that was my thought process, but why hasn't DJ Ware been on the field much these last two games? Is it that the Giants know what they have?
That's what I
mean. And they're going to keep him so they don't need to see it? Or is it that they know what they have and they want to give Darrell Scott and Andre Brown an opportunity to show that they're better?
I think it's a combination of both. I think that they have enough film of DJ Ware. They've seen him practice for the last couple of years.
And play.
And like you said, they want to now see, can a Darrell Scott wow them? Not just one game, not just two quarters, but over the course of a couple of weeks, starting from training camp. Or can a guy like Andre Brown wow them? Brown certainly, I think, has answered that call. We put a check mark next to him. Scott, I'm not so sure. Ramsey's Barden, to me, picked up where he left off against the Bears. Darrell Scott, I can't necessarily say the same thing. But if I'm the Giants right now, given the injury history to two of those three running backs that we just went over, I would lean towards definitely keeping DJ Ware or Darrell Scott. And if I had to choose between the two, I'd go with Ware simply based on the experience.
If I was in that position, I think I'd do the same thing. We'll see what the Giants end up doing. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Abraham's out in California. What's up, Abraham?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I had some questions, and maybe you could give me some observation, because
sure.
I certainly am not privy to what you see in the practice field. As you stated, yesterday was a pretty ugly game, but I had some questions concerning some players, and maybe you could give me your observation.
Okay.
One was, it seemed that Petras was pretty much manhandled by his opponent in that first quarter. McCants, it didn't look like he played too well, quite honestly.
No.
Yesterday, it was downright ugly.
Fair.
Also, if you could talk a little bit about the running game, because other than this young man Wilson, it really has looked anemic. And my last observation or question. If you could talk about, I'm somewhat disappointed that the Giants didn't utilize, is it Ryan Pirillo?
Yeah.
Forgive me if I mispronunciate his name.
No, you're right.
David Carr, quite honestly, as long as he's been in the league, and I know he hasn't played with all the starters, but he hasn't really, he's been a disappointment in my observation, and I would have thought, given this Ryan Pirillo, he's got some arm. I would have thought they would have maybe took a better look at him in the last couple of games. So maybe you could comment on all my questions and give me your observations. I'd love it.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, I'm gonna hang up and I'll listen to you on my computer. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Abraham. Up early out in California.
And a lot of good points that he brought up.
All right, I'll hit the offensive line, then you can jump in. The backup offensive line last night was a disaster. I mean, it was a mess. David Carr didn't have a chance. He was getting the you-know-what beat out of him. McCants had a very poor game. The Giants knew he was raw coming out of college. That's why he was a sixth-round pick. But, I mean, he had a lot of issues last night. And I think Abraham was also correct about Mitch Petras with the first team. He's had a rough summer. He hasn't played his best football. And you saw him get beat for that sack early on yesterday. And he didn't play great either. I think if there's one place where the Giants lack a certain amount of depth, it's probably on the offensive line. Now, they have some backups that are capable. Sean Locklear, for example, with William Beattie starts. He's a quality backup tackle. Chris White did a good job at center when he came in. Jimmy Cordell did a good job at center and guard when he came in. But there isn't a ton of depth on the offensive line, and boy, that's been a consistent theme throughout this preseason. Once you get that second and third team offensive line in there, if you're a quarterback, you better have your head on a swivel.
And it's a concern, especially when you take into consideration the injuries that they had to deal with last season and even coming into this year. You know, if Beattie is not ready to go, Locklear then goes from your backup to your starter. So then what happens if now Locklear gets hurt or gets nicked up and you need to miss him for a game? Who do you have confidence in right now to turn to? The tackle spot, as you just pointed out, not a lot of depth. And guys like White and Quarter, those are your centers. Are you going to move them into the guard and tackle spot if somebody else goes down? You know, that may be a position. Don't be surprised if the Giants are looking at the waiver wire the next couple of days to see if another team gives up an offensive lineman. Perhaps, maybe they'll look to add somebody, considering the type of performances that we saw last night. I would think that, you know, the offensive line, you want to beef up the depth chart.
Because, yeah, you have to.
I mean, these guys have gotten hurt even in seasons prior. And I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but that's the nature of football. You have to prepare for the worst-case situation.
Well, an offensive lineman get banged up. It's really just, you know, the nature of the beast. As for the other point he made as to the quarterbacks, I think Perilou, maybe as much or more as anybody else, showed a ton of improvement over the course of this preseason. I think he's gotten a lot better. He gets rid of the ball quicker, reading defenses better. He has a good arm. And I think that he will, if not pick up back here on the practice squad, I think he will have an opportunity to pick up with another team as a third quarterback. I think Perilou's shown enough on tape where somebody will take a chance on him.
I agree. I would think that a team, especially there are multiple teams you could point out to around the league, one particular one that hasn't even decided on its starting quarterback that perhaps wants to add some more depth. And Perilou, you know, all the talk since he entered the league was the guy's got some gun. I mean, he can really heave it down the field. And unfortunately, I just don't think the Giants feel they want to carry three quarterbacks. And listen, if you're a passionate fan who's been following the Giants the last couple of seasons, as Abraham just pointed out, there's no question that Perilou has talent, but you need to look at it from this perspective.
I can't believe he didn't play more last night.
But then again, maybe their mindset is, we may need to carry an extra running back, given the injury history. We may need to carry an extra wide receiver if we're not necessarily sold on who has won the third receiver job, or given the injuries to the secondary, we need to take on an additional corner, additional safety. You can't afford in that situation to keep three quarterbacks.
Well,
it's a numbers game at this point.
But at this point, what do you need to see out of David Carr? Why not just give Perilou a chance then to at least show his skills for other teams around the league?
Well, that's
a chance to be on an active roster. I mean, Ryan Perilou was my interview on the radio pregame last night. I spoke to him for that interview on The game was Wednesday. I spoke to him on Monday. I did the interview. And when I talked to him, he said he thought he was going to play a half. That's strange. I'll have to look into that. See if I can find out.
Perhaps just the way the offense played last night.
Well, Eli did play longer than I think people expected because there were so many three and out. That's a fair point.
And Tom Coughlin wanted to see his regular guys gain some continuity because they know they're less than a week away from the regular season, and that shaked up the game plan a bit. You know, coming in, I think the Giants probably said to themselves, we have no problem giving Perilou at least a quarter. And then Eli Manning comes out. They look sluggish. I mean, he was just 4 of 8 for 29 yards. And it wasn't just on Manning. It was a combination of multiple factors. You want to have some confidence, even though it's the fourth preseason game, heading into these next couple of days of practice. Before you know it, they're going to be on the field against the Dallas Cowboys.
201?
We're going to have replacement officials to boot.
Oh, boy.
And that's a whole other topic that don't get me started on.
Is it that hard to figure out a play when there are two fouls and a punt on the same team? I still don't know what happened. My theory is that the Patriots declined the 15-yard face mask, took the simple five, forced the re-kick because they wanted to practice their punt return, and Weatherford had booted a 68-yard punt or 63-yard punt, whatever it was on the first one. That's what I think happened. Now, no one ever really explained that, but that's kind of what I figured out. Your thoughts on that?
I have a headache just thinking about it. I don't really have much to add at this point.
Have you
it's
thrown
so
your resume in the mix?
And confused.
No, for that?
Well, I mean, you could throw me out in a high school game. I would have just as impressive enough resume as some of these other guys.
I'll tell you what.
Thrown in from Division III.
And you know what? And all joking aside, I feel bad for a lot of these officials because they are being thrown into a situation where they will fail. These guys don't have the experience. They don't have the proper training over a long period of time. And, frankly, they don't know how to handle this type of spotlight. And it's not their fault. You can't get top-notch college officials to be replacement officials in the NFL because why would they quit their college job when they know the regular NFL guys are going to come back? They're not going to do that. So these guys are being put into a position to fail. And you're going to have something bad happen in the first week or two of this season, where somebody's going to make a bad call and it's going to cost a team a game and there's going to be outrage and then something's going to finally get done with these officials. And again, I don't want to attack these guys because they're being set up to fail, and I don't like that.
The unfortunate part of this whole storyline is that when the CBA expired or when it was planning on expiring, which was June, the league, you know, should have planned ahead and could have set up some training seminars and gotten
these guys
prepared.
Did.
Yeah, but it
you
was
only
thrown
do so much
together
in a couple
very
months.
Quickly.
You can only do so much.
But you know what? Given the complexities, John, of the NFL rulebook, we have trouble even understanding it at times.
Don't give us that much credit. You're like, well, we're geniuses. If we can't figure out this rulebook, well, how can these jokers do it? Come on.
But, it's a lot different than the college game. It's a lot to digest. And you need sometimes months. You need video reviews. You need the experts to help train you. It's baptism by fire at this point.
Though, you know what? You can get calls wrong in the moment, and I get that. Judgment calls you can get wrong. That's fine. The one thing I will not excuse is if these guys don't know the rulebook. Because if you have 2 months to get ready for a season, you can read a 200-page rule book and know the rules. No difference than taking a college class, reading the textbook, and knowing the material. These guys should know the rules. Now, they can get stuff wrong because they see it wrong and they're not experienced. They don't see stuff as fast as everybody else does, and that's fine. That's going to happen. Mistakes are mistakes. But not knowing the rule book, and I'm not saying that's happened so far, but that's one thing that I will get on them for. Because, look, this is a job interview for these guys, too. If these guys do a great job, they could be NFL officials down the road. Who knows? College officials, whatever. You got to know the rule book. No excuses for that.
But here's another difference that most fans may not be aware of. The NFL never allows a rookie official to be thrown with another rookie. They'll always put a rookie official, a first-timer, with an experienced group.
Correct.
So you'll be with a Mike Carey or an Ed Hockley who's had years of experience. So you can lean on them during the course of a game if you're unsure about a call or you threw out the yellow flag too quickly. This is a bunch of rookies all thrown together. Nobody could lean on anybody at this point.
That's why you're having these, you know, conferences that last a year and a day. And that's why the NFL are sending these officiating supervisors through all these games to try to give them help. But They can only do so much.
And they can only conference with them between quarters or during stoppages of play. They can't come in and say, no, that was not a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. You can't do it. It's tough. It's going to be tough. It'll be interesting to see what happens. 201-939-4513. Chris is in Long Island. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, good. Chris.
My question is Adrian Tracy. He's been out with an injury, and he didn't play, and Ojemo had a great game. Is his spot in the lineup and I mean, way down in Kokomo, Ojemo. What are we going to do with that guy? We can't put him in the practice squad because we know we're going to lose him. Too much film. The guy's great. He looks like OC Jr. What's going to happen there?
You can't make the club in the tub. That's the old expression. And 2 weeks ago, before this injury, I thought Adrian Tracy was nearly a shoo-in to take that fourth defensive end spot to replace Dave Tollefson. But you're right. You cannot let Ojemo go at this point. You can't. Someone's going to take him. He's shown too much promise. Adrian Tracy's had injury issues throughout his entire career. He missed his whole first year with the shoulder. Now he has a hamstring. And is it fair that a guy gets hurt and he loses his job? Maybe not. But Howard Cross always says something to me. He goes, John, back when I played, even in the fourth preseason game, I wanted to play the whole game. I wanted to play every snap. Do you know why? Every snap, I'm not out there. It gives the tight end behind me a chance to make plays and try to take my job.
That's a good point.
And with Adrian Tracy being on the bench with the injury, it's given Adewale Ojemo a chance to make plays and take his spot. And quite frankly, I think he may have.
This is why if they would have tweaked that IR rule where you could bring a guy back mid-season off of IR, Adrian Tracy would be one of the first names I would put on IR, because then you know you at least have the option when he gets fully healthy, you could bring him in mid-season.
Well,
and he
Terrell
still
Thomas would be
practice.
One of those guys, too. And I'll be interested to see what they do with Terrell Thomas. Are they going to put him on IR, or are they going to try to get him back this year, save a roster spot?
It all depends on what they hear from the doctors. I mean, we know he's hard at work trying to rehab the injury, but as far as a timetable, that's up in the air at this point. And right now, the Giants need healthy corners because they're dropping like flies.
All right, let's go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey at 201-939-4513. Tim, what's going on, man? How are you?
Fine. I got a question for you.
Sure.
Well, can Jason Pierre-Paul break Michael Strahan's single season sack record with 23 sacks?
He can. I think it'll be tough this year only because he's sharing snaps with Tuck and OC a lot. And one thing Justin Tuck always tells me is what Michael Strahan taught him is that I want to play every snap. And unfortunately, the way the NFL, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, the way the NFL works now is that you're going to have a lot of rotation. So you're not going to have a guy play that many snaps. So I think it'll be tough for him to break that record. But is he physically capable? Does he have the talent? Sure.
Without a doubt. I mean, there's not too many offensive linemen that can contain Jason Pierre-Paul consistently. But no. You're right. You know, the Giants, this is a good problem to have.
Yeah.
They have a lot of defensive ends that they can circulate throughout the course of a game, and Perry Fuel is not going to try to wear out JPP with 100 snaps if he knows he could give him a breather or two. It makes no sense to wear
the
guy
team.
Out. Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. 201-939-4513. John in Manhattan. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, I had a couple questions for you guys, two parts.
Sure.
First one is, do you think there's a better wide receiver duo in the league than Nix and Cruz? And the second part is, do you think it's mostly because of Eli Manning that they're this good? Because you look at a guy like Steve Smith, who was the number one receiver on the Giants a few years ago, and now he's fighting for a job on another team.
Well, I wouldn't take the Steve Smith example, really, to be honest with you, only because he had an injury, and, you know, if he's healthy, he probably would be starting somewhere. Do I think Nix and Cruz is the best wide receiver combo in the NFL? I'd say they're probably one right now, but if Julio Jones develops this year, I think the Falcons with Roddy White and Julio Jones might be able to pass the Giants, but they are neck and neck. And quite frankly, if Miles Austin and Dez Bryant can stay healthy, that's also a pretty darn good duo. And so is Deshaun Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, which I think is a very, very good duo if those guys can stay healthy. But right now, today, if I was to pick two wide receivers as my starters and they had to be on the same team, I'm picking Nix and Cruz.
Yeah, assuming they're both healthy. I mean, that's the key right now. But you're right. The Falcons, with the way Julio Jones performed in his rookie campaign, I think you need to put them out there. The bottom line is this division is very tough, as you just laid out.
It is.
I mean, the Cowboys, the Eagles, they both have depth. The Redskins don't necessarily have it on paper, but who knows what RG3 can do for that offense. You figure they're going to take a step in the right direction after they had to rely on Rex Grossman for most of last season.
And, John, I agree. I think Eli Manning has a lot to do with it, why these guys are so good. I think they'd be good wherever they are just because they're that talented. But every wide receiver is helped by having a very good quarterback, whether it's, you know, the Cowboy guys I mentioned with Tony Romo or the Falcons guys with Matt Ryan. You're not going to find a great wide receiver playing with a bad quarterback. That's generally something you're not going to see in this league.
Though
Larry Fitzgerald.
I was just going to throw out Larry Fitzgerald could be the slight exception
given the struggles of Skelton
and Cobb. And he has been able to put up consistent numbers despite the irregularities of the quarterback play and the inconsistencies. But overall, you know, as John just pointed out, you need consistency between the quarterback and the wide receiver, no matter how talented they are as individuals. If they're not on the same page, it's not going to mean much. And yesterday, you saw Eli Manning underthrew Victor Cruz. There were some mental errors. That doesn't mean they're not talented anymore. They didn't lose their talent overnight. It's just that, you know, even the best in this league can struggle if the communication is not there. And we saw that last night at times.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That was one of the clearest phone lines we've had since we've been doing the show. You notice that? It's crystal clear.
Well, they're, you know,
just
doing,
pointed it
they're
out.
They're doing some, you know, things right here at the Timex Center.
Or it could be like, okay, so you want to give the Timex Center credit for that.
Well, you know, whoever installed the line, I don't know the history. You know it better than I do.
201-939-4513. Ed up in Baston. What's up, Ed?
Yeah, I have a question on David Douglas.
Sure.
What are his chances of making the team?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? I thought they were good, too, until Ramsey's Barton decided to wake up these last two games and started playing well. I think the Giants, after these two games, are going to have a pretty tough time deciding to cut a former third-round pick that has shown two straight games of production in the preseason. Now, are they going to try to maybe slip David Douglas onto the practice squad? Sure. No way they keep seven wide receivers with all these injuries. They just can't do it. So I think right now Douglas is probably on the outside looking in.
What about Johnny?
Yeah, and he showed he could do it too. But again, it's a numbers game right now, Ed. And here's the problem. He's caught in it. You have Nix and Cruz who are in. Obviously, Randall, the second-round pick, in. Dominic Hickson's a proven veteran who can also do special teams. He's in. Jernigan's a third-round pick from last season. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. And then Bard is making the plays. That's your six right there, and there aren't enough roster spots to keep seven. So I just don't know how he finds a way onto this roster.
Well, I don't see Jernigan making many plays. I mean, he caught the punts, but he didn't move them.
Well, yeah. But given the value in which he was drafted at, I don't think they're ready to cut ties so quickly with Jernigan, and they're not going to move him to the practice squad. You know, Douglas, to me, would give them a spark, as Ed just brought up, in special teams. But it's not as if the other six guys that you named can't contribute on special
teams. Look at Randall. Randall did punts last night. He can do it. Dominic Hickson can do it. Gerald Jernigan can do it. So you got all these guys, and Jerron Holsley can do it. You got all these guys that can do punts. And look, David Douglas can also contribute on coverage teams and things like that. I just don't know if after two good games, when all they've said about Ramsey's Barn and we need consistency, are they going to cut a third-round pick loose, even if it's his fourth season, after two good preseason games. History tells me they won't, based on what the Giants have done in the past.
And it never hurts to have a 6'6 guy in the mix, John. I know we've
talked about Barn. I'm sick of this height stuff. If he's not a good receiver, I don't care if he's 7'6".
Well, he's put some decent performances together the last couple of games. So let's assume that he can then transfer this to the regular season. You're going to complain about having some height in the receiving corps?
I'm not complaining about height. My point is this. And again, I think Ramsey's Barn has done a good enough job this preseason to probably earn his way onto the team. And I'm not saying he hasn't. But at some point, don't you know what you have with him right now? I mean, he's been here. It's his fourth season. I would rather have a guy who has a bigger upside, who can contribute in other ways that can help down the road. If Barton's your sixth or even your fifth receiver this year, and his biggest strength is catching the football, is he going to play over Hickson? Is he going to play over Randall? Is he going to play over Nix? Is he going to play over Cruz? Where is he helping you? And he's going to be a free agent, I think, after 4 years, third-round picks become free agents, correct? So after this year, he's a free agent. Wouldn't you rather use that spot on somebody you can keep longer term and develop and is cheaper? I don't know. It's an interesting decision to make. But if they think with Nix's injury history, Hickson's injury history, Randall being a rookie, they want a guy in there that they can use at wide receiver and he's going to be active on game day and he's going to make sure that he gets playing time, maybe they will do that. And in that case, I'm 100% wrong and it's definitely worth keeping him. But I don't know if that's what's going
to
happen.
But you have to prepare for injuries. And from a wide receiver perspective, John, what does David Douglas give you that any of those six guys can't? That's my big question here. You know, I understand that he's got upside.
I don't know how good David Douglas can be. I know how good Ramsey's Barden can be. That's why I would keep the younger guy.
And Barden may not get a lot of playing time. You're 100% right. But you know what? Even if you can work him into a red zone package, I think the Giants will take touchdowns over field goals, which they settled for plenty of times last season.
Yeah, you got Ruben Randall. He's 6'4". He can jump. You gotta take Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz out of the game in these goal lines? I'm taking Victor Cruz out or Hakeem Nicks out for Ramsey's Barden?
How many seasons have Giants fans been calling up and calling for the offense to get a little bit more creative? Who's to say they don't throw out five wide receivers out there? Who knows?
I know fans out there probably like, why do you hate Ramsey's Barden? Why are you anti-Ramsey's Barden? And I'm not. That's not where I'm coming from here. It's just that, honestly, part of it, I think, is the fact that I've gotten phone calls for four straight years asking about this guy, and it's frustrating the heck out of me. But I'm not anti-Ramsey Barden. He's actually a really nice guy. We're friends. We talk all the time. He's a good guy. He studies the playbook. He's intellectual. He's a good teammate. He's a good guy. But I don't know. I hate to let a guy.
Well, you followed Cal Poly growing up. Don't lie. Tell the fans. Come on. I mean, you were very passionate about that school.
I did
it's
love
okay.
Cal
don't
Poly.
Don't shy
That's
away
true.
From
it. I was a huge Cal Poly guy, Division III, or Division II, rather. You gotta love that. You know, who doesn't like to sit down a Saturday afternoon and watch Cal Poly on the gridiron?
It's a sensitive topic for you. I understand. We can all relate. You're passionate about Cal Poly. So, it would be hard to see the Giants part ways with Barden if it comes to that.
201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at #GiantsChat. You can give us a call or send in your questions via Twitter. Lance and I will take them. Let's see what we got here. We got a couple questions about Tracy and Ojomo, and I'll make the point, and you can make it too, Lance, that we made earlier, that I think Ojomo might have done enough to take Mr. Tracy's spot here.
And it is, unfortunate for Tracy because he does have a lot of upside. I think that would be a good term to coin for Tracy. But the bottom line is if you're not healthy and you're not out on the field and you can't prove that you can contribute, the Giants are going to go more in the direction of a guy that through four preseason games hasn't just had one good play. He's had multiple good plays.
Yeah.
And he's earned the spot. That's what it comes down to. You know, it's the same thing with Barden in previous seasons. If Barden was not healthy coming into this year, he wouldn't even be in the mix right now. I think the Giants' patience would have worn off by this time. And that's the thing with Tracy. I think that he can contribute. It's all about the numbers game. You can only keep 53 guys, and you can't keep 10 defensive ends. You got to balance out your roster. That you could have 100 different defensive ends, but you can only put two of them on the field or three of them or four of them at the same time. You can't have defensive ends roaming in the secondary. you're going to put OCU Mignora against Julio Jones? It's not going to work out too well for you.
No, probably not. 201-939-4513. Sean's in Pennsylvania. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, guys? I have one big concern right now with the Giants, and that's cornerback. Did Michael Coe show enough to be confident in him to be our starter against the Cowboys next Wednesday if we can't get Amukamara, Hosley, or any of those guys back to help out?
Well,
show enough.
Confident or not, Michael Coe's your starter. He's played better than everybody else, and really, in the end, Sean, that's the bottom line. This guy's showing more in the preseason and in games than the Bruce Johnsons, the Tryons, and all those other guys. So right now, if Prince or Hosley can't get back, I would be super surprised if he played next Wednesday. Hosley, not as much. I think he is a legitimate shot here. But Coe's your guy, so you better get used to it.
By default, essentially, given the injuries. I was impressed with Coe's aggressiveness, though, throughout the preseason. I think he did show the team something. Now, he's another guy that's dealt with some injuries in the past, but you know, do you necessarily want him to be your number one target? I think the Giants would feel a bit more comfortable throwing Prince Amukamara out there. But you know what? Coe, it's not a rookie. The guy has some experience under his legs there. So given the fact that he's gotten some reps throughout the preseason, I would feel pretty good that at least you're throwing him out as opposed to a rookie who's just getting his first taste of the NFL, especially the first game of the regular season against a division rival, national TV audience, a lot of emotions, the banners being raised. I would think it would be better to put Michael Coe out in that situation. But listen, if Hosley's healthy, he's going to get in the mix. But I would say Coe is going to start off the first snap.
I agree. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to Twitter here and say hello to John Corvino. Do you think we'll see some split-back formations this year? Maybe Bradshaw and Wilson both in the backfield at once, Lance. What do you think?
Well, you know, I go back to the point that I was bringing up earlier in the show. We've received a lot of calls in the past that Kevin Gilbride and company should spice things up on offense.
Find funny considering how good the Giants' offense has been. You know what I mean?
I don't know how much they're going to experiment. I mean, last night, wasn't there a play, correct me if I'm wrong, Andre Brown was trying to get a direct snap, it appeared. There was a miscommunication on that, right, with David Carr. I mean, granted, the offensive line didn't play very well. So, you know, sometimes when you want to get creative, it doesn't necessarily always work out too well. I would be really surprised if they throw two running backs in the backfield. I don't see that happening.
That's really not the Giants' way. You want to have a fullback there that can block if you want to run it in. I'm just not sure you get a whole lot out of it. Wouldn't you rather have another wide receiver out there than two halfbacks?
Or a fullback who could do a little bit of something. Or a tight end even, like a Bear Pascoe,
yeah,
who could break out to catch some passes. I think you're more versatile if you show that as opposed to two running backs who have similar styles.
I agree. Let's go to AB11121. Are you worried about the offensive line heading into the regular season? The starting offensive line, not so much. The depth, I would say, certainly, considering what the backup offensive line has done so far in the preseason. As for the starters, you know, William Beatty, we'll see what he can do. You know, he practiced with that back finally last week. We'll see if he can get back for regular season game number one. And, you know, Chris Knee, David Deal, you know what they're going to give you. David Boss, I think, is going to have a pretty good year. And I think the starting offensive line will be fine. Are they going to be dominant like they were 3 or 4 years ago? As the best rushing team in football? Probably not, but I think they'll protect Eli Manning. I think they'll be fine.
Well, you figure the running game can only go up.
They were 32, so.
I mean, are they going to go to 33 at this point? I don't see that happening. And I know that you look at the numbers from last night when David Wilson only had 8 carries for 13 yards, so he wasn't too productive as a group. They struggled. But then again, you know, the second line was in for the majority of the game, so don't put much stock into last night's performance. I think when you look over the course of the last couple of games, David Wilson has been productive through his creativity in finding some holes, and Andre Brown has been aggressive. As long as the running backs remain patient and take what the offensive line gives them and also take chances when the opportunities present themselves, I think that they'll be able to have a consistent enough running game to help balance things out for Eli Manning. Are they going to wow everybody with 150 yards per game? I think that may be a little bit above expectations, but there's no reason to think that they can't have a better balance this season. That's what the Giants from day one are going to start striving for.
201-939-4513. Give us a call as the Giants figure out their roster and their final 53 for the regular season. Lance, I want to touch on a couple things from around the league here because I think there are some interesting things going on. A couple things with the Cowboys. I'm sure you guys, everyone heard about the Dez Bryant rules, which apparently he was on board with. Still interesting that you got to have to, you know, basically have 24-hour babysitter service for a grown man, but it is what it is.
They have a history of doing that, though, John.
Pac-Man Jones
Tank
did the
Johnson
same type
too.
Of thing. I forgot about Tank. That's a good point. But if Dez is on board with it and that's what needs to happen for, you know, for him to fix his life and get things squared away, people have to realize what a screwed-up childhood Dez Bryant had. And it's through no fault of his own. It's not his fault. I mean, he basically had no parents. Everyone showed up again after he got his big first contract, by the way. Big shock there. He would sleep in gymnasiums, sleep with friends, sleep with coaches. They'd give their homes to him and open up their homes to allow him to stay there so he'd have somewhere to sleep at night. You know, he's really had a pretty messed up childhood. And I guess this is one of the ways that, you know, he thinks he can try to turn things around a little bit. And if that's what he needs to turn it around, I guess that's what the team and Tim should do.
and the Cowboys are trying to protect their investment. He's a first-round pick. You know, the other thing that I wanted to bring up in relation to that, John, when you hold up the Giants to the Cowboys, just in terms of how the organizations run, I go back to what Tom Coughlin brought up when the video circulated on YouTube. And one of the first things Tom Coughlin said is, you have to keep things within the locker room and within the organization in-house. And that's the biggest difference between the Cowboys and the Giants. I have no problem with Dallas being aggressive, trying to help Dez Bryant out. As I mentioned, they're trying to protect one of their greatest talents.
But why is it in the papers?
Why is it out there? That's what I question. And the only way it's getting out there is that somebody within the organization is yapping.
Or Dez is yapping.
And that's what I think the Giants have done a very good job with consistently. And why do teams that consistently get to the Super Bowl succeed? The ones that avoid the outside distractions.
Avoid the nonsense.
Look back at the previous Super Bowl winners. The Packers. Any issues with Green Bay throughout the course of the season? And the one year that the Giants had some issues, it hurt them. The year after the Super Bowl, the whole Plexico thing. One and done when they got to the playoffs. It's a trend. I'm not making this stuff up. You have outside distractions, it'll come back to haunt you. And I just brought that up just to hold both teams up there. It's amazing that teams that take care of their in-house business, it translates to the field. Whereas the Cowboys, who have all the talent in the world, but for some reason, way too many distractions. That's been their biggest troubling aspect over the last few seasons.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One other piece of Cowboys news, Mike Jenkins was cleared today. He passed his physical. He'll be removed off a PUP. Now, he can't practice for 3 days, so I very much doubt he'll be able to play in the season opener next Wednesday against the Giants. But that, of course, another healthy cornerback for the Cowboys down the road. That'll help them out. Apparently, the Dolphins team plane, wasn't shooting flames, thankfully for them, backed into another plane right before takeoff, leaving Dallas last night, according to a tweet by Anthony Fasato. The incident damaged the team's plane too much for it to fly, forcing them to wait several hours for a replacement aircraft. Just what everyone wants to see after a final preseason game on the road. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting final episode. By the way, speaking of Hard Knocks, did you see Ryan Tannehill? And the fact that he doesn't know the divisions of the NFL.
I heard about this. I know. Unfortunately, I don't have HBO, and they don't put that on HBO Go. So I haven't been able to watch the last few episodes of Hard Knocks, which I'm getting more and more furious about because people keep talking about it and making fun of me because I haven't seen it.
Well, it is entertaining.
It's good stuff. I love Hard Knocks. I really do, but I can't see it anymore.
And then Vontae Davis getting cut. That was another interesting.
Traded.
Yeah. Well, they were almost thinking of cutting him, it seemed, based on his performances the last couple of
games. I got to call my grandmother.
I mean, that's why I said it. I mean, you can't script this stuff. It's unreal.
That's why it's reality
gotta
TV.
Do so. That's a bad job by you with the HBO there.
Do you want to give me $20 a month?
Well, I'm just saying. You know, I mean, as somebody who follows the league closely, who's on top of things, I would expect you to make an effort to find those episodes, whether it be online. You got to get creative here.
All right,
I want to have discussions about Ryan Tannehill and Roberto Wallace and the fifth receiver in the Miami Dolphins. I'm expecting that you will have seen those episodes.
You're right.
We're gonna have to
start this chatter up
on Twitter here. I want the fans' perspective on this too. John Schmuck not going all out to watch Hard Knocks.
It's not like it was the Giants' Hard Knocks.
You know, we're looking to make this show well-rounded here.
All right, well, speaking of well-rounded, Woody Johnson at the RNC last night. Big Republican supporter, apparently.
Man.
You can never have enough Tim Tebow. Apparently, he didn't watch Tim Tebow play in the preseason. Because it was like a shooting gallery on the sideline of that game with the way he was throwing the ball to the bench. Through a 10-yard ground ball.
You know, they're joking that Greg McElroy may become the starter sooner than later with the way the Jets quarterbacks are performing.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, we talk about the Cowboys with some of their circuses of the past couple of seasons. You don't have to go too far to see a circus here locally with the way the New York Jets
don't think they're going to be quite as bad as they look. I think their defense will make enough plays, but, boy.
It's going to put a lot of pressure on the offense.
Someone's got to score some points, man. Someone's got to figure out a way to score some points up there. It's a problem.
Nick Folk is their most lethal offensive weapon at this point. It's going to be a field goal fiesta.
Yeah, that that puts it pretty well.
And you're right. The Jets have some weapons in the receiving core. It's
they
not
do.
As if
well,
they don't
they've
have
one.
Talent.
They've one weapon in the receiving core. Stephen Hill, does that get you excited?
Well, I mean, Santonio Holmes could be productive.
I said
if he's
one.
Not.
Who's two?
Well, Dustin Keller?
He's a tight end.
They're part
hurt.
Of the receiving core. I mean, I include that cluster.
What, Chad Schillings is getting you excited?
Well, I'm not going that far. But it's frustrating. I mean, not for me personally, but I'm saying that.
Apparently,
you know,
you look
for,
very flesh
well,
frustrated.
For, I'm sure, Jets fans and just overall football fans. Listen, Mark Sanchez and company have frustrated me from a fantasy perspective enough. So you can imagine
well, you
from a reality
one
perspective.
Dumb enough to draft Mark
Sanchez.
Oh, no,
I didn't draft him. I'm just saying that you go up against a defense that's playing the Jets.
Oh,
come
okay.
On, you can
I
relate
see.
To those
okay.
Circumstances.
Big fantasy draft tonight, by the way. You excited?
We're going to have stories to tell for ages.
Lance and I, for you fans that don't know, we actually went to college together, so we have like this huge fantasy league we've had probably since, what, 2002?
But it was tough because Cal Poly was your first choice. It was hard to get you to stay locally here. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, I want to go to Big Blue Interactive here. This question comes in from Optimus New York. Do the Giants keep with Jomo? It seems like they have to. Why wouldn't they? Well, I would, Optimus, I think you're right on the money there. I think the Giants do have to keep him. I think they will. There's no way, and I think they know this, they sneak him onto the practice squad with what he's put on tape over the course of the preseason. So I can't see here how they let him go.
Look at Marcus Thomas, for example. Broncos got rid of him. Giants were stunned. They immediately grabbed him. Ojomo, who has performed lights out in the preseason, teams are smart around the league.
Well, some are.
Most of them. You know, they keep if they have good scouts,
yep.
They're keeping close tabs on guys that, you know, may just miss out on the cut. Somebody's going to grab a Jomo, especially a team that doesn't have solid pass rushing.
All right, we got 10 minutes here. I know we're a week away, Lance. You want to look ahead here a little bit to Giants-Cowboys?
Absolutely.
Give us a call. Talk about the game if you want, by the way. 201-939-4513. You
or
gotta,
hit us up on Twitter, too.
You got to figure,
Giants chat.
Of course, not only Jerry Jones, but the entire Cowboys franchise, considering the way the Giants basically stepped on the Cowboys' head last year on their way and smashed their face into the dirt, more or less, on their way to a Super Bowl last year, basically won and got to the Super Bowl at the expense of the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys have got to be just chomping at the bit to try to win this game next week. I know everyone's motivated the first week, and I get that, but it's a little something more for Dallas, I think, coming up next Wednesday.
Well, if you're the Cowboys, you want to spoil the party for the Giants.
Yep.
And Dallas is starting its second consecutive season in the same exact stadium. If you remember last season, they opened up against the Jets where they blew that lead in the fourth quarter.
I remember the Giants spoiled the Cowboys' opening party when they opened their new stadium. The Cowboys still haven't beaten the New York Giants at their new stadium down in Dallas. So,
the way, though, that this series is played out, the Giants, you can make an argument, have had more success in Dallas.
Oh, no question.
Than here.
And it's kind of like that with Philadelphia, too. The Giants play better at Philly. Philly plays better here. It's strange how that works sometimes inside the division. But, look, the Cowboys are going to be ready for this game. And their entire offseason, I will argue, was built around trying to beat the New York Giants. They had Brandon Carr. They had Morris Claiborne to supposedly shut down cornerbacks to deal with Victor Cruz and Akeem Nicks. Two guys that absolutely killed them last year. What, Eli Manning combined the two games against the Cowboys. What was he, like 750 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, or some crazy number like that?
Look at what he did in the fourth quarter alone in the game in Dallas.
I know.
You're right. Dallas, priority number one this offseason, John. Beef up that defense for Rob Ryan.
Yeah, and they have.
They improved the linebacker core. They brought in Connor from the Panthers. They've got Sean Lee's healthy. He's not wearing a ball on his hand.
Bruce Carter's back, their second-round pick from last year. Jenkins is now back.
I mean, they have some weapons in that front and in that secondary. The question is, can they put everything together?
And they also have a lot of injuries now, and this is also a big issue heading into this game. It looks like Jason Witten's going to be a game-time decision with the spleen. Can't believe those words are actually coming out of my mouth, but they are, with the spleen.
The
lacerated spleen. Though it's healed now, it's no longer leaking, I believe the official doctor's report was. It's disgusting. I know, Melroy. Don't give me a face like that. So, and then you have Dez Bryant, who has the knee. Miles Austin has the hamstring. Those guys both expect to play, but who knows if they're going to be 100%. Austin battled a hamstring all year last year, was not the same player. And then where the Cowboys are hurt the most is on the offensive line. Their two starting guards are guards that they picked up off the scrap heap in the offseason. Phil Costa, who couldn't snap the ball straight last year, still their starting center. Doug Free was terrible at tackle last year. He's still starting on the right side. And you're going up against the Giants pass rush that's the best in football. The Giants defensive line should be licking their chops in this game to get after Tony Romo. The Cowboys offensive line is not very good.
That's a huge X factor, as you just pointed out. If the Giants can consistently get to Tony Romo, think about the pressure it's going to take off the secondary, number one, with all the injuries that the Giants are facing right
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
You make Tony Romo run around, I think that's going to bode well for the Giants in the long run. You know, Dallas is trying to make a statement on defense. The Giants have already proven they can make a statement on defense. And as far as the Cowboys offense is concerned, if Tony Romo doesn't have enough time to throw the football, it doesn't matter if the receiving core isn't healthy.
Right.
It doesn't matter if the receiving core is the most talented in the league. You need time for your quarterback to at least drop back and make a smart throw.
I remember 2 years ago, Michael Boley, big hit on Romo, broke his clavicle, knocked him out for the year. I mean, was it 4 or 5 weeks, something like that?
Well, they went to Kitna, and I don't even, you know, Romo.
Well, Stephen McGee made
plans.
An appearance too, whatever. Anyway, the point being that Romo has in the past gotten hurt when he gets hit a lot. So I'm not saying the Giants are trying to hurt anybody. That's not what I'm trying to say.
No, but he's a mobile quarterback.
If you put enough hits on the quarterback, he's not going to play well or he's going to get hurt. And if there's one thing that can hold the Cowboys back this year, in my opinion, in that division is their offensive line. If they can get their offensive line figured out, they can be a very, very dangerous team. But right now, I don't think there's any evidence that they have figured it out. And especially in the division with the Giants, with Pierre Paul, with OC, with Tuck, Eagles, Babin, Trent Cole, Colin Jenkins, guys like that. And then even the Redskins with Brian Arakpo and company. If you don't have a good offensive line and your quarterback's going to hit all the time, it's going to be tough to win games.
And it's going to hurt your running game.
Of course.
And they've got DeMarco Murray, who was impressive last season. Felix Jones, though, he seems to have taken a step back this preseason.
When your running back fails his conditioning test, probably not the best sign.
That's definitely a troubling aspect for the Dallas Cowboys. But you're right. They're going to be tested not just by the Giants. They're going to be tested by the Eagles and the Redskins because every team, just as we mentioned, the receiving corps are strong, the defensive lines are strong. So it's not as if, okay, well, as long as we protect our quarterback against the Giants, we'll get a break when we go to Philly and Washington. It doesn't work out that way.
And every team in the NFC East, and really in the NFL for that matter, has their weakness. You look at all the great teams, the 49ers. You worry about their quarterback and wide receiver play. Can they score enough points? You look at a team like the New England Patriots. Is their defense good enough, especially pass rush-wise, to get something done? You look at a team like the Packers. Are they going to clean up their big plays on defense, or are they going to continue to make a lot of big plays on them? The Eagles, can Vic stay healthy? Can they stop the run on defense with that wide nine defensive line? Is Robert Griffin III going to be a guy that progresses fast enough for the Redskins? Can they protect Jay Cutler in Chicago? Can Matthew Stafford stay healthy in Detroit? Can their defense slow teams down enough for them to score points to win football games? Can Cam Newton avoid a sophomore slump? There's questions all over the league. And this is where I'm going with this. It was a pretty long setup, I understand.
Can the Saints play defense?
Can they survive Sean Payton's absence? Every team has issues. If you're going to pinpoint the Giants' issues, I think you look in two places. You look in the secondary, where they have a ton of injuries again. And I think you also look at the offensive line, where you have Will Beatty in the back. Can Sean Locklear be a consistent left tackle? Can David Deal and Chris Knee rebound from what most people will consider subpar years for them last year? Can the Giants run the football? And can they prevent the big play in defense with that secondary? Those are where I think the Giants can get hurt. If they figure those two things out, I think they'll be in pretty good shape.
Though it's funny, you know, we criticized the running game and they wound up winning a Super Bowl when they were 32nd in the league.
Hey, so first team ever to do it.
You just never know how things will play out in the NFL season. But you're right. I mean, those are certainly question marks surrounding the team. But every other squad has its own set of issues. So it's not as if the Giants are on an island all by themselves. Every team right now is trying to, first of all, narrow down the roster to 53.
Can Tim Tebow complete an 8-yard pass? All these teams have these question marks that could guide their season one way or the other.
Well, you hope that the Jets have bigger questions to ask themselves whether Tim Tebow could complete an 8-yard pass.
Has Wayne Hunter found his red cape yet to wave at guys going past him? Now they have Alex Barron.
Well, he'll take that red cape
right
to St. Louis
he
right
did,
now.
Yes.
And he'll try to help Sam Bradford and company.
Yeah.
Good luck luck with that. But anyway, no, I mean, it is, though, it's a trend across the league. There's a lot of question marks, even teams that have a great deal of talent. You know, with Green Bay, you know, their offense to me is just as deadly, but is this defense going to improve? I mean, the defense was dead last in the league last year.
Big plays all over the place. Now they're getting their big safety back, and his name isn't popping my head. Packers safety, Pro Bowler, missed all last year with the – yeah. He's not back, right? No.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there you go. You got problems.
Well, and they drafted a lot of guys. Their first six picks were all defensive players. So they
young guys,
made it
though.
A priority to get these guys in the mix. And a lot of the players that they were thinking of relying on last season did not play up to their potential. And their linebacker core was beat up. So, you know, they're hoping to stay healthy. And, you know, that's the type of team that, even if you give up 20 points, you're going to be fine because Aaron Rodgers is capable of putting up 30. But when you start giving up 30, that's even putting a lot of pressure on a guy like Aaron Rodgers. The same thing for the Giants. You know, Eli Manning and company, they're going to put up points. But you want your defense to at least make it comfortable for Manning. You don't want to have one fourth quarter comeback after the other.
Now, eventually you're going to fail on those. Just like the Giants did against the Niners in the regular season last year when their defensive lineman knocked down the pass on the slant. So, Justin Smith, that's what I was looking for. Sorry. And, you know, you're right. You can't depend on that.
Yeah, and the good thing is the defensive line is at least somewhat healthy, especially the defensive ends, I should say. The defensive tackles, I know, are hurting a bit. But they weren't in this position last year. So that's a positive for the Giants coming in. But the problem is now the injuries have spread throughout the secondary. And if the pressure packages don't consistently get to the quarterback, is that going to bring about last year's performance where the secondary struggled at times in picking up the slack for the front seven? Will the front seven now pick up the slack to make it easier on the secondary? You know, it's like checks and balances this season with respect to the Giants. And the Cowboys are going to be the first test. I mean, from the Giants' perspective, you're going to have to play Dallas twice no matter what. I think it's a good test. Why not go up against a prolific offense right from the get-go to see how this defense is performing come week one?
It'll be fun. Lance, we'll see you back here next week on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
And Big Blue Kickoff Live will be with you tomorrow, which is Friday, and then Monday on Labor Day from 9:30 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Then we'll get you the rest of the week next week. We'll take the weekends off here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Will you have a point here, Lance?
I was going to say, do you want to tease the Fantasy League that we're going to be starting up perhaps? Should we just throw it out there and then we'll give the details next week? Just want the
Giant fans, be ready for a fantasy competition of some sort that we'll try to get launched within the next week or two.
Where the fans will interact.
Yes,
that's the
fans will have a chance to select a team through a process, go up against fantasy superstars such as Lance Meadow, Anita Marks, and Paul Dottino. I'm actually going to try to get to do this, which I don't know if I'm going to be able to.
Well, if you're talking about superstars, Paul Dottino goes to the top of the list. It's without question. There's no competition.
You should have seen how excited he was about the preseason game last night. He was so
pumped up. Did he get his walk-in yesterday, by the way?
Yeah, 5 miles,
he
said.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because if that doesn't happen, then
he was extra tan.
Things may not go well for the Giants.
He was extra tan.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, he tweets about it, too, which is fascinating, if you want to follow him on Twitter.
You think that's fascinating?
Well, you know.
You have a very low threshold for fascination, Lance.
Well, if I have 5 minutes to spare and I need some entertainment, I'll look at Paul Dottino's Twitter feed.
All right, fair enough. All right, everybody. So, again, Big Blue Kickoff Live every weekday morning, 9:30 to 10:30. Show tomorrow off Saturday and Sunday as the Giants get ready for the Dallas Cowboys. But make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com. Anyway, we'll have our end-of-the-day reports starting, our little New York Giants news flash at the end of the day, Coach Coughlin's press conferences on Saturday, the players meet the media Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Preview report will make its debut next Tuesday, getting ready for the game. So it's a lot of fun, folks. Make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com for all the preview of the first game of the NFL regular season. It's finally here. Thank goodness. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your day. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Have a good one.